You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in their faith. We are talking to Gen Z. And here on this podcast, Way of Manhood, be sure to follow us if you're listening today on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, and consider downloading the free Fortis Plus app to listen anytime. And if you're listening on Apple, we'd love for you to leave a review, or if you're on Spotify, consider tapping a star rating. All right, man, I'm glad you're with us today. I want to talk to you about fruitless religion versus fruitful religion. That's what we're talking about. Are you fruitless or are you fruitful? And I'm going to be talking from Mark chapter 11. This is going to be a part one and a part two. And in this part one, we're really talking about fruitless religion when appearance replaces power. All right, man, let me start with a question that's going to feel personal because it is. Have you ever looked at something and thought, oh yeah, that's legit? And then you get closer and realized, oh man, that was a fraud. It was a fake. You know, like the mint condition car listing, and then you see it in person and it's got the check engine light on, the brakes scream like a banshee, and the interior smells like sadness and Mountain Dew. Or the dude at the gym who's got the full fit. I mean, he's got compression t-shirt on, he's got straps, pre-workout, shaker bottle, and he's curling like 5 pounds, like he's deadlifting a building. You can look the part and still be empty. And here's the main truth of Mark 11, and it's going to hit home right between the eyes. God is not impressed by leaves. He inspects the fruit. Not vibes, not aesthetics, not religiosity, fruit. That's what Jesus is looking for. It's kind of like what he said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 and 17, when Jesus said, "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit." I mean, let's keep this very simple today because Jesus keeps it very simple. A thorn bush produces what? Thorns. A grapevine produces what? Grapes. A good tree produces what? Good fruit. And a diseased tree produces what? Bad fruit. Or maybe no fruit at all. And Jesus says that there is an inescapable connection between the nature of the tree and the fruit it produces, meaning the fruit doesn't make you alive. The fruit reveals whether or not you are alive. Now listen, this matters, especially for young men, because young men can become experts at appearing strong while being spiritually brittle. I mean, you can be confident and still be lost. You can be active and still be dead. You can be in the church and still be unconverted. You can know the Christian language and still not know Christ. And what Mark 11 is about is Jesus coming into Jerusalem the last week of his life, right before the cross, and he does something that shocks people. He curses a fig tree. And the whole point of this story is not the tree. The tree is an x-ray. It shows what Jesus sees when he looks through the body into the soul. He looks at religion. He looks at what might look to be alive on the outside, but if it doesn't have any repentance or humility or obedience or no true love for God, then Jesus can see right through it. He can see the fact that it doesn't have any fruit at all. So let's walk through this like men. No dodging, no excuses, no spiritual, yeah, but I mean, we're talking about the cursing of the fig tree. I'm going to do it from Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. And so Mark 11, 12 says this, "On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry." All right, let's pause right there. That matters. Jesus is God, yes, but Jesus is also man, which means he gets tired and he gets hungry and he bleeds. And that matters because some of you treat Jesus like an idea, not a person, like a brand, not the king. But he is God in the flesh, walking toward his own execution. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. That's right there in verse 13. So there's the detail that people miss. It was in leaf. In that part of the world, when a fig tree had leaves, it was a sign. Leaves promised fruit. Leaves were the billboard that said, "There's something here." But Jesus gets there, and it's nothing but leaves. It looks alive, it looks healthy, it looks promising, but it's empty. And men, this is the danger zone for religious men. I mean, you can have leaves in your life, like you look in the religious part, you got church attendance, and you're even serving somewhere once a week or once a month, and you got a pile of Christian friends, and you got a ton of Bible knowledge, and you even have a worship playlist on your phone, and you have theology memes that you like to look at, and you got the talk down where you say, "I'm just trying to grow, bro." You got it all down, except you don't have real fruit. You don't have any repentance, no humility, no obedience, no real love for God, no war on sin, no prayer life, no forgiveness, no self-denial, no submission, just leaves. And the scariest part, leaves can fool people. Leaves can fool your friends. Leaves can fool your girlfriend. Leaves can fool your pastor. You can fool your parents. But leaves, that outer appearance, it doesn't fool Jesus. Jesus sees right through. I mean, Jesus isn't scrolling on your highlight reel. He's inspecting the root system. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus knows it all. And then we read how when Jesus came to the tree, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs, verse 14 says, and he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard it. So that's pretty serious how Jesus responds to this. This isn't a joke. The disciples heard what he said, and he said to the fig tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." That means that this is a lesson. He wanted the disciples to hear what was being said. This is intentional. This is Jesus teaching. He's not just talking to the fig tree. He's talking to the fig tree in a way that the disciples would be hearing and start to ask questions. And some people, for centuries now, have actually tried to talk their way out of this passage because they don't like what it implies. Can you believe it? There are many liberals, or those who don't take the Bible literally, and they give objections to this text in general. They say things like this: "This story makes Jesus look petty. Like he looks weak or he looks superficial." I mean, through the years, overly critical minds have found reasons to reject the account of Jesus's cursing of the fig tree as being a bogus tale. Even in recent history, the celebrated New Testament scholar T.W. Manson wrote this, quote, "It is a tale of miraculous power wasted in the service of ill temper. For the supernatural energy employed to blast the unfortunate tree might have been more usefully expressed in forcing a crop of figs out of a season. And as it stands, it is simply not credible." Okay, well, that's one liberal scholar's approach to this text, saying it doesn't make sense and Jesus should have used his power to produce figs, not to curse the tree. Another liberal commentator by the name of William Barclay agrees. And he says this, quote, "The story does not seem worthy of Jesus. There seems to be a petulance to it, which is a spirit of irritability in it." Like somehow this is showing Jesus's irritability or his impatience. And so we see that these minds and others like them, they reject the story because it seems to them that Jesus was acting like a spoiled child, that Jesus was acting like a bully, using his power to destroy what he couldn't have, that Jesus was like a trigger-happy soldier just waiting to blast something. I mean, some people reject not only the story, but any story that doesn't make sense in their own minds. Well, I would caution you if that's you today, because the Bible couldn't be more clear, right? All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And even at the end of the Bible, in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, there's a stern warning given about taking anything out of the Bible. Here, the Apostle John writes, "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book." They want Jesus as gentle, but not as holy. They want Jesus as savior, but not as judge. They want Jesus to be helpful, but not authoritative. They want a Jesus who carries their backpack, but never caused them to carry a cross. Now, don't go away, because when you come back, I want to continue to unpack what happened in this story where Jesus curses the fig tree.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson in just a moment, who is talking about fruitless religion versus the real thing. You know, leaves can fool a lot of people. Dr. Tyson just said that, and I think it's worth thinking about. Leaves can fool you about more than just your faith. See, a young man can look impressive on paper by going to the right school or having the right image and have nothing real underneath that. What is actually going on in your life? Not the image that you've covered up your life with so that the world can see it, but what is going on underneath? That is exactly the soil the Master's University works in. The Master's University forms young men whose faith has substance under the surface. Dr. Tyson's a professor there, so is Dr. Greg Gifford, another one of our fellows here at Fortis Institute. And if you're a young man trying to figure out what's next for you, or maybe you're a parent who wants more for your son than just a shiny resume with nothing behind it, go look at masters.edu/manhood right now. Get the conversation started. I promise you this, and this is not just me selling a university. This is me giving you a promise. There will never be a time that you regret choosing the Masters University. masters.edu/manhood. Now, real quick, three things, and we'll get back to Dr. Tyson. Don't forget about Fortis Plus. Free. There's no catch. It is our app. It's where we distribute all of the content that we're creating. Find it in the place where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org. But again, it's absolutely free of charge. Also, become a gospel partner. An ongoing monthly gospel partner with us means that we're able to continue creating all of the content that we're creating here at Fortis Institute and distributing it for free. Nothing we create and release has a price tag to it, and it's because of our gospel partners. Would you consider joining us as a gospel partner today? Also, the third thing, share this podcast with someone. Today's episode specifically. Send it to someone right now, your friend, a family member, because a personal recommendation coming from someone who you personally know, well, that means you're going to likely listen to what it is that they send you. So send someone this podcast today. Now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, and thanks for joining me today on this show. Follow us, if you will, by leaving a review on Apple or give us a star rating on Spotify and share it with a brother who might need some encouragement in this area. We are in a two-part show about how Jesus notices right off the bat that which would be fruitless religion and that which would be fruitful religion. So far, we're in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, and I was just ending before the break by describing how some people think this passage doesn't belong in the Bible. They don't see and understand how something so destructive, like Jesus cursing the fig tree, could be positive. But I was just ending before the break talking about how Kent Hughes is saying that Jesus actually honors the fig tree by using that tree to make it the most useful tree that ever grew, except for the tree on which he himself was crucified. I mean, if this fig tree had been used by God as a teaching point to turn hundreds of fruitless Christians into true Christians who produce true fruit commensurate with repentance, then this tree has not withered in vain. Here's what I'm saying. God has a purpose in everything, and he will do what he wants for his glory. And if that means dry up a fig tree or scorch a whole forest, he'll do what he wants, and good will come from it. So the problem is not with God. It's with you and me and our perspective when we don't understand something. I mean, people don't hate judgment because it's irrational. They hate judgment because it's personal. Because if Jesus can judge a fig tree, he can judge you and me. He can judge our Christianity. And men, some of us are clinging to the leaves in our lives because we know we don't have fruit. So let's go deeper, because Jesus isn't out there throwing a divine temper tantrum. He's preaching a visible parable. Here's what I want us to do. Let's take a little closer look at verses 12 through 14. Let's examine again the humanity of Jesus. Notice how it says, on the following day when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. That's right. Jesus, the Lord of the universe, was hungry. And so he's not doing this because he's weak. He's doing this because he's real. And some of you need to hear that because you think holiness means never feeling temptation, never being tired, or never being physically weak. And yet Jesus faced temptation. He was tired when he slept on the boat, and he could be physically weak at times when he didn't have enough to eat from a human perspective. And so we got to understand holiness is obedience even when you're hungry. And Jesus is showing the disciples, I'm not an untouchable spiritual ghost. I'm the God-man, and I'm heading to the cross. And yet, I can still show disappointment when I'm not getting fed, and I can still deal with it in a way that's actually a picture of his divine prerogative as well. Because here's the expectation of Jesus we see from verse 13 when it says, when he saw in distance the fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything to it. But when he came to it, right, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And so again, some people would read that and say, well, it says right there in the verse, it wasn't fig season. Yes, and that's exactly the point. The leaves were a promise. The leaves were the deception. The tree was advertising what it did not possess. Because here's the deal. Even if the fig tree didn't have ripe figs on it, at this point in the season, it should have had some buds. It should have had some promise. It should have had some green fruit demonstrating that it was going to produce, and some people could even eat that. And what happens here is that Jesus exposes it. So, men, listen up. Fake religion is always advertising. I mean, you could think of this fig tree with all the leaves as being a picture of Israel. Being a picture of the Pharisees, they got a lot of motion, a lot of action, but no real fruit. And here's the deal. When you look closely at Judaism of the first century, it didn't even have any fruit in the making. I mean, again, fake religion is always advertising. It always wants to be seen. It always wants to be praised. It always wants credit, but it's just leaves. Fruit doesn't need to advertise. Fruit just exists. And so we see in verse 14, the judgment of Jesus when he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. And so this is judgment, and it's good and right. because Jesus is a good and holy and perfect judge. And later in the passage, if you look down at verse 20 and 21, you see how the disciples saw that later it did die, it was cursed, and it was withered from the roots up. I mean, think about that for a minute. From the roots up. That's a terrifying phrase, because it means the problem wasn't with the branches or even with the leaves. It wasn't just an external behavior. The problem was deeper. The problem was more internal. The problem was with the root system. And here's the central lesson. It's not about how the tree looks. It's about what the tree produces. So, man, let me bring this into your own life today. If your Christianity produces no repentance, no real battle against sin, no ongoing hunger for God's word, no prayer, no love for Christ, no forgiveness, no obedience when no one is watching, then you don't have a fruit problem. You have a root problem. And Jesus is warning you, leaves without fruit will end in judgment. Now, I can already hear the internal excuses. Yeah, but I'm young. And yeah, but I'm busy. Yeah, but I'm stressed right now. Yeah, but I'm struggling. Listen, struggle is not the same as fruitlessness. A struggling Christian still fights, but a fruitless religious man only performs. A struggling Christian repents, but a fruitless religious man rationalizes. A struggling Christian comes into the light. A fruitless religious man curates his image. So I'm not asking, do you have temptations? Everyone does. I'm asking, are you at war? Because fruit doesn't mean perfection. Fruit means life. So let me just talk straight to you. Can I, young man? There's some leaves out there that we love. Let me name a few leaves that young men tend to love. Here's leaf number one, Christian content. You watch sermons, clips, reels, podcasts, but you don't pray. You don't obey, and you don't repent. You've become spiritually entertained, not spiritually transformed. And that's not fruit, that's consumption. Here's leaf number two, Christian community as a mask. You're always around church people. And when you're around church people, you feel safe and you feel good, but you're not dealing with the sin that you hide at night. Being near fruit doesn't make you fruit. Okay, here's a third leaf that we love in Christianity is, I know my theology. Well, congrats. So do the demons. Knowing truth without obeying truth produces pride, not holiness. And so we better be warned here. Let me just speak like a pastor for a moment. This passage should terrify you if you're playing games with God. Because Jesus doesn't just confront fruitless religion, he condemns it. And man, if you know that you're faking it, if you know that you're not right with God, then hear me. Don't confuse God's patience with God's approval. Meaning, you might get by with it a few times, but it doesn't mean God approves, and eventually it's going to all come crashing down on your head. I mean, the cursed tree is a picture of what happens to religion that refuses repentance. But it's also mercy because Jesus is warning you before it's final in your life. So what should you do? Well, you don't promise God you'll do better. You don't start stapling fake fruit onto dead branches. You come to Christ. You repent. You ask God for a new heart. Because a dead tree cannot produce fruit by effort. It needs new life. And that brings us to the transition, because the next scene is Jesus walking into the temple. And if the fig tree exposed private religion, then the next scene, the temple, is going to expose public religion. And in part two, next time, we're going to see how Jesus doesn't just curse, he cleanses. And then he tells you what real fruit actually looks like. And so, men, let me end with this. If Jesus inspected your life today, not your words, not your intentions, not your church attendance, but your fruit, what would he find? And don't answer that out loud. Answer it honestly in your heart, because you can fool people with leaves, but you cannot fool Jesus. He inspects the fruit. Let me pray for us. God, we're grateful today to look at a familiar passage of Scripture about the fig tree that got cursed. And we've seen how that's just an example of a lot of religiosity, a lot of green leaves, but no real fruit. So may we examine our own lives today and confess any known sin and ask you to fill us with your Spirit, with your life, with a greater desire to bear fruit that would honor you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.